really bad situation at the airport, or at least potential for a bad situation, is travelers are now coming back to find out that they've got to go into a hotel quarantine. Many knew it, but the problem is the process. We'll take you through that in just a second. But we had scheduled Thomas Mulcair, who's one of our favorite guests on the show, former leader of the NDP, CTV's political analyst, to talk about that. But I have to hit you with this first, because this is just embarrassing, if you ask me. Curious to what you think. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's cabinet will abstain from a House of Commons vote to formally label China's treatment of the Uyghur Muslims a genocide. Your reaction when you heard that today?
You can't be half in and half out on something like that. You either believe that it's a genocide and you express it, or you vote against it. But Mr. Trudeau has been trying to have this one both ways. Look, I'm not saying that Mr. O'Toole is making the smartest political move right now. I do believe that the treatment of the Uyghur Muslim minority in Western China is atrocious. I do also know that the most vile accusation you can ever level against a country is that it's involved in a genocide. Canada itself admitted that we had committed a genocide with regard to our first people, and that was after lengthy analysis and discussions in the most objective manner. So right now, Mr. O'Toole seems to be hell-bent on throwing as much as he can at China. Our relationship with one of the most important countries in the world, China, is in tatters after 5.5 years of Mr. Trudeau's government. That's nothing to be happy about. So I think that before throwing that ultimate word of genocide, I think we'd better know exactly what ground we're standing on. And not all experts agree that it's the time to use that term. So I don't see how Mr. Trudeau can try to duck this one by abstaining. You don't abstain on one of these fundamental questions. You say either, no, this is not the case yet, it hasn't been established, the jury's still out on this, or yes, we believe that it is genocide. But ducking like that is very surprising to me.
What is it? What's the strategy then? You know, obviously you're surprised, so maybe you're not quite sure what the strategy is either, but is it more of an overall play? We know that China's watching us. They've already kind of given us a slap on the wrist for even entertaining this conversation and having this discussion, so we don't want to go any further or appear to go any further, so they stand on the sidelines and watch?
Well, I like a lot of Canadians, I suspect. I was offended that China would believe that it could lecture us on what we could or could not do in the House of Commons. I think that was a singular lack of understanding of Canada. At the same time, we can't forget that China is the largest country in the world in terms of population. It feeds and houses and clothes and provides medical care and education to 1.5 billion people. And it has an absolutely abysmal human rights record. Look at the most recent example in Hong Kong, where they had made a sworn up and down that there would be one country with two systems, and that's being thrown out the window. They can't be trusted on that sort of thing. And in the country itself, everybody is being tracked with facial recognition. You get points, you know, it's like air miles, but you lose marks if you're doing things online that the government doesn't like, because the government watches everything you do. So this just in, China is still a communist dictatorship. You know, there's no such thing as a free election. There's no opposition in China. In fact, anybody who even raises their voice, you remember that there was a Nobel laureate, a Peace Prize winner, who was kept in jail until he died in jail. Mm-hmm. And I just find it's atrocious, their human rights record. But again, the question is here, this motion is not about whether the Chinese have an atrocious human rights record. The question is whether they've committed a genocide. The Rohingya, also a Muslim minority in Myanmar, former Burma, had to flee. It was mostly the women and children who made it out, because the men, they're still not in a proper accounting, but it looks like we're going to be looking at a genocide the likes that we haven't seen since Srebrenica. So these are, when you use that heavily loaded term like genocide, the Soviet Union's behavior in Ukraine, where more than 1 million people were starved to death, that's genocide. But here, it's horrible behavior, imprisoning people, indoctrinating them, not letting them have their religious beliefs. But this is what the Chinese government does. They don't respect individual rights like freedom of religion, freedom of speech, anything but. So before you fire that word, you have to know what you're doing. But it's been so clear since last week. Listen, Ryan and Jay, I have to say, anybody who follows Canadian politics just looks at last week and knows that Mr. Trudeau is heading to an election this spring. You know, he came out with his gun thing. It didn't fly very well. Bill Blair didn't do his homework the way Melanie Joly did. She showed up on Friday with a really great piece on language. currying favor with a strong part of the liberal base, the Francophones outside Quebec, and the Acadian population. They knew what they're doing. There's not going to be any bill. Nothing's ever going to come of this thing. But it's just all positioning. They're getting themselves set up. And when Mr. Trudeau renewed the CERB for precisely 12 weeks, you know, do the math. I mean, that puts you in the middle of May. And what the theme is from the Liberals is, we had your back. Don't vote for the Conservatives because they won't take care of you. That's what they're heading for. So why Mr. O'Toole is allowing himself the luxury of doing anything other than saying, vote for us, we'll get your jobs back, we'll get the economy back, that's who we are. They have to have some sort of branding. They have to define the ballot question. And instead, they're going down a rabbit hole with this whole question of China. I don't understand the strategy. And they've got some good people in the Conservative Party, but it looks like Mr. O'Toole doesn't like speaking to them.
Let's continue that conversation about strategy or lack thereof, as today most air passengers entering Canada found out they had to comply with our new travel measures, including that pricey hotel quarantine. Complaints already pouring in. Travelers saying they can't get through in the government phone line. The phone line, the only dedicated way to actually do that. People talking about 3, 10 hours. Social media.
The record I heard was 12 hours.
Yeah. So why wasn't this planned better?
Because it wasn't planned. Minister, the newly minted transport minister, I mean, you're in the middle of a pandemic. You need somebody to go into transport because you're moving Mark Garneau over to foreign affairs. And you look at everybody who's got deep experience running cabinet, you know, portfolios and being ministers, and say, let's go to this untried guy. Let's put him in charge of one of the key portfolios in the middle of a pandemic. So I'm sure he's got other talents. But Omar Al-Ghabra, in his first weekend interview, said, oh, yeah, well, they're going to be in place. And he said a few days later, hey, that was weeks ago. The thing was nowhere near ready. And as we can see, it's not even ready now. And there's, by the way, about 15 minutes ago, it was announced that a group was taking a court case here in Superior Court in Montreal to try to have these obligations lifted, saying it broke fundamental rules regarding family reunification.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there you'd find a judge that would say, I'm not sure we can detain our own citizens at their own cost in these hotel rooms, but at the very least have some sort of preparation. Was it not always the easier way to do this, just starting to ground flights and banning this kind of travel?
Done. But they were never going to admit that it was easy. You remember they kept using, they had a Rolodex of excuses. They used to send out Dominic LeBlanc, my favorite, you know, he's not a dummy, Dominic LeBlanc. He's a lawyer. He's a well-trained guy. But they would send him out and he'd say, oh, it's against the Canadian Charter of Rights to tell people they can't leave the country. This just in, those rights are subject to such reasonable limits that you can demonstrate are necessary in a free and democratic society, i.e., keeping people safe in the middle of a pandemic that's already taken away more than 20,000 Canadian lives. And yet they diddled. They wouldn't ban flights in from China. Some people opining that it was racist. Hey, guys, nothing racist about saying these planes can't come in. This is public health. The Chinese have really strict rules about planes coming in from other countries because they're taking care of public health in their own country. So, I mean, the biggest mistake they made, they did really well in getting money out to people's hands. You know, families were able to put food on the table. Trudeau and his team got that right. They deserve full marks for it. But with regard to the borders and the airports, it's just been a disaster. And again, they're going to wear it. The other thing, of course, that they got wrong for 2 months was the vaccines. But it now looks like Mr. Trudeau is going to be able to pull another rabbit out of his hat and have millions of vaccines in. And that's what he's going to go to his election on.
And that's what people will remember going into that election. Sure. The very last thing that happened.
Yeah. exactly.
Thomas Mulcair.
Very short-term memory in Canadian politics.
Always glad when you're on our side of the fence, sir.
Great to talk to you.
We like
to.
Have
side. A great day.
Thank
there you.
You
go. Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the NDP and, of course, CTV's political analyst, putting all of that in perspective for you when it comes to China, when it comes to airports, when it comes to passengers. Man, you saw them today, Jay, basically looking around saying to themselves, like, how long am I going to be in this airport? Like, it's ridiculous. You're going to hours and hours to try to get a hotel. Like, you know where the hotels are. This shouldn't be a mystery.
Occupancy is so down during the pandemic as well. You have to wonder why you need to spend 10 hours on the phone to try and get yourself a room.
Also, I'm still not clear on how it costs $2,000 to stay at a hotel for 3 nights. Like, what kind of room are you getting?